And happy anniversary to you all, friends. Today we celebrate 500 years of the Protestant Reformation. We honor our Reformed heritage, the faith of our ancestors, the perseverance of the saints before us who lived their faith in a world that was not always faithful. The Reformers, Luther, Calvin, John Knox, who all faced significant opposition as they cried out against the idolatry and tyranny of their day. Heretics. Apostate, they were called. But names didn't deter them from speaking the truth and calling a wayward church to return to God. 500 years ago, this weekend, after weeks of study and prayer, Martin Luther posted his 95 theses on the Wittenberg church door, speaking out against the abusive power of the Roman Church, and which had put itself in authority over grace, mercy, and forgiveness, where Christ alone has dominion. The Church, as Luther saw it, had placed itself as a required intermediary between a man's sin and God's grace, but grace needs no additive. No substitute either. All that we need is God's grace alone. And for those next 500 years and to today, the Protestant Church has continued to call out to faithful living. And this call can be summarized in five themes or five solas. Solus, which is Latin for alone. Inside your bulletin, you'll find a bookmark we encourage you to take home, highlighting those themes. Saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, according to Scripture alone, for the glory of God alone. But let us now turn to a familiar story from Exodus chapter 32. Moses has delivered his people from Egypt through the Red Sea and into lives of freedom. They make it to Mount Sinai, and Moses goes up to meet with God to be instructed in the law and to receive the Ten Commandments. Moses is gone 40 days and 40 nights, and the people get restless. Beginning with verse 1 of Exodus 32. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron, Moses' brother, and said to him, "Get up, make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has come of him." And so Aaron said to them, "Take off the rings of gold that are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people took off the rings of gold that were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made a golden calf. And they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you out of the land of Egypt." And when Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow shall be a feast day to the Lord." And they rose up early the next day and burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go down, for your people, whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way that I commanded them. They have made for themselves a golden calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed to it and said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.'" The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This morning, as we encounter this familiar story of how the Israelites, who just weeks previously were delivered out of bondage and slavery, and now that Moses and God have slipped out of sight for a few days, abandon their deliverers and lift up before themselves a golden cow. To us, it seems quite satisfactory to cast stones at them for their dance around this shiny calf. How could they so quickly forget, we wonder? Do they not remember God's many gracious gifts? Have they forgotten how God provided Moses to stand up to the tyrant Pharaoh and to lead them out of Egypt? Do they not remember the Passover and the deluge of death from which they were saved? Were they sleepwalking as they traveled safely across the Red Sea, a body of water that thereupon consumed the entire Egyptian army? How can they now turn away from God to worship other gods? The ancient world, it was full of gods. The Israelites had left Egypt with its golden statues to Ra, Anubis, and Isis. The promised land from where they were headed is full of competition as well, from Baal and Ashereth, Dagon, Marduk. The Philistines, the Canaanites, the Babylonians all had a plethora of deities. And so the raising up of the golden calf, as much as an affront to all that God, their deliverer, has just accomplished in their midst, it is a natural human expression, a natural human tendency, we proclaim. And is idolatry just an ancient issue? Or is it a modern issue as well? Idolatry and tyranny are the themes that we address this morning as we look at the great themes of the Reformation. Now, idolatry is not just the worship of some totem or card figurine, but it is the raising up of any item, person, ideology, possession, pastime, relationship above the only thing worthy of our love and worship, our God, the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer of our lives. Idolatry is not just something the ancient Israelites are guilty of, but we must all admit that we all struggle with it as well. Like them, we too are uncomfortable with the invisible, the mystery, the unseen awesomeness of God. We would much prefer the tangible, the visible, the simple. We want a God that we can touch and see and understand. And so we fashion for ourselves idolatrous substitutes all the time whenever we place our faith away from God. We place our faith in people, in institutions, in ideologies, when we are called instead to place our faith in God alone. And anything less than faith alone in God, idolatry, isn't that a harsh word? Is that really what we're calling this? As Carolyn read, Proverbs teaches us to trust the Lord with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding. In all our ways, acknowledge God, and God will make our paths straight. Fear the Lord. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Turn away from evil. How often do we find ourselves walking in circles, listening to our own so-called wise advice, when instead we could be seeking the source of all wisdom and our paths be made straight? We are often our own golden calf. When we usurp Christ's lordship by claiming we alone have achieved the victory, or that we don't need Christ's leadership, We practice idolatry, placing ourselves as our own false redeemer and deliverer. And what about tyranny? Certainly. We know a tyrant when we see one. There's one on the news all the time in North Korea threatening global annihilation. Isn't there one in Africa and Middle East somewhere, probably South America also? They're cruel, oppressive, corrupt, authoritarian warlords. But this is not the only example or definition of tyranny. Now, some do fit that definition, but in the world of ancient Greece, a tyrant was anyone who claims authority not rightfully their own. It's not just some despot dictator, but anyone who places themselves above or instead of the one true ruler of this world. Some say we live in a godless society. I disagree. At least to me, it seems that we are living godless lives, but pledging allegiance to too many so-called gods. We idolize technology and celebrity and prosperity. We may not have a totem to the god of the harvest that we bow down at our family altar, but what of the time that we spend devoting ourselves entranced in our family room in front of the 55-inch TV on the mantle, or resting on the security of our bank accounts rather than trusting in the giver of all good gifts? Grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, Scripture alone, for the glory of God alone. When we add anything to this formula or take anything away, we claim for ourselves authority not rightfully ours. So this morning we celebrate not just the capital R Reformation, happened 500 years ago, which began, but also may we claim a little R Reformation, an individual calling to personal reformation, renewal, repentance, faithful living, an examination of our own lives, acknowledging our own idolatrous and tyrannical tendencies, asking, where have I yet to surrender the absolute reign of God in my life? May we all acknowledge today and tomorrow the need for one rightful ruler, Lord, and Savior of this world and of our lives, Jesus Christ, and trust in Him alone, not on our own limited wisdom. May our lives give glory to God alone, acknowledging His sovereign reign in all things and all that we are. And may our hearts be reformed and transformed to the will of God each and every day. Let us pray. Yes, O God, we acknowledge that we too quickly and too often turn to other things. We turn to our own so-called wisdom rather than trust in Your awesome, infinite glory and power and might. Claim us, O God. Claim us as Your own, and that we may proclaim You alone as our Lord, as our Savior. May we submit in all things to You, O God. Clean our hearts. May we be dedicated to Your glory, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.